City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show. We are the official podcast of USA Volleyball, as you already know. We hope you are all doing well. Just a quick reminder, I am flying solo once again today, as you all already know. My co-host Stephen is still on family leave, being a dad, doing dad duties, and doing great things there too. So shout out to Stephen listening from home. You better be, otherwise, I'm just kidding. But yeah, shout out to Stephen listening from home. Hope your time off is treating you well, and can't wait to have you back soon. Lately, I've been busy myself, getting ready for our event season. Got a site visit coming up. We have our packing date, which our event always does for every event that we host for our Salt Lake City 18th Showdown is coming up. And coaching, more event planning, more and more coaching, all the above there too. But just a quick shout out because we did just win over the weekend. So shout out to Team Velocity 17 Black for taking home first place in our local power tournament over the weekend. Very proud of you ladies. Way to step up, play through the adversity, way to come back and win some very, very, very important critical sets, and way to play not only at your potential, but past your potential. I cannot wait for the rest of the season with you guys. So shout out to Team Velocity 17 Black, and we're going to have a very exciting season. The goal is to get a bid, and if they keep this up, we definitely may earn one of those bids to national this year. So fingers crossed. Now, before we get into today's episode, if you missed our last episode, please go back and check it out. In episode number 82, we sat down with Olympic gold medalist and U.S. Women's National Team setter Jordan Poulter from the 2023 ABCA convention in Tampa, Florida. Jordan shared some of her personal interests, including how she didn't go to her homecoming and instead went to Riot Fest Rock and Roll Music Festival with her dad, which is so cool. Still love talking about that story to this day. Jordan also talked about her recovery from her knee injury and how she is looking ahead to this upcoming season and also Paris. And so much more. Be sure to check out that episode on all podcast platforms and watch the video episode on YouTube and the USA Volleyball website. Now, time to introduce myself awkwardly for the news with Hughes with myself. Registration is open until January 26th for the 2024 Women's National Team Open Program. Program dates are February 23rd through the 25th at the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center. Make sure you visit the website for more details. As another reminder, the 2024 Boys Junior National Championship registration is open along with Girls Junior National 18s and GJNC 11s through 13s, and also 14s through 17s registration is now open. A lot of national championship registration opening up too. So be sure to check out the website, usavolleyball.org, for all inquiries about that. You guys can also email events@usav.org if you have event specific questions about all national championships going on across the board. But we're not done with registration, because also starting today, registration for one of the oldest volleyball championship on U.S. soil is happening again. That's right. The USA Volleyball Open National Championship registration is open as of today, aka opens. Be sure to come register your team and check out some really high level adult volleyball happening in Columbus, Ohio for May 24th through the 29th at the Greatest Columbus Convention Center. Love the adults, man. I cannot wait for the tournament to happen this year. Again, we're always working on improvements to the tournament, making things great for the adults, and just hosting a great atmosphere. So we cannot wait for opens this year too. Registration is open today. Be sure to register your team. Also, starting today, Pro Volleyball Federation's inaugural season begins tonight. That's right. If you're listening to this on release day, this is huge for the sport of volleyball and for the sport of professional volleyball specifically. In the U.S., this is the one of the first inaugural pro leagues that is being launched here as well, too. I know we have a few that are, you know, already on the cusp of, you know, their seasons. Shout out to Athlete Unlimited as well, too. Now we got Pro Volleyball Federation, and just be sure to tune in tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time. That'll be 5 p.m. Pacific time, streaming on Stadium. The Atlanta Vibes will be taking on the Omaha Supernovas. There will be matches as well on Thursday and Friday night, streaming on Stadium and Bally's streaming apps. I believe streaming is free on both of those as well, too. So do what you got to do. Do not miss this high level and historic inaugural season that pro volleyball is about to take on as well, too. I'm personally excited about it. As a coach, I'm telling all my players to watch this. I mean, this is huge, you know, so you don't want to miss it. Cannot wait. And best of luck to the Pro Volleyball Federation and Pro Volleyball Federation teams competing this season. Big day, right? Lots of going on. Be sure to follow all of the action on USA Volleyball social medias. And for more on the latest news, always tune into our website at usavolleyball.org. Now, coming up on today's episode, today's show, we are continuing our conversations from the AVCA convention in Tampa back in December 2023, this time with our chat from none other than Excelsior Region Commissioner, former club director of Woosh Volleyball Club of two decades, Hazel Goldstein. On top of being a region commissioner and running a club for two decades, Hazel has served as the Excelsior, region assistant club director, juniors director, and she has also been officiating across all levels, too. So Hazel wears a lot of hats. She was amazing to talk to. She also talks about the name transition with the region, which is very important as well, too. Very informational as well. So I'm very glad she took the time to go into detail about a lot of that. Hazel also chats about her retirement plans, well-earned retirement at that. She also has done so much with her region to help the game. And again, we are so glad we were able to carve some time out, talk to Hazel, and, you know, sit down with her before she sails into that sunset. But enough about that. I know you're tired of hearing me talk. Let's get right into it. Here is Hazel.
Again, thanks for jumping on our podcast. This is, I think, very highly requested by a lot of people in the regions for over Denver meetings, too. So shout out to them for making it happen and throwing a suggestion out there. But nice, easy question. How were you introduced to the game of volleyball?
I was introduced by my daughter, as so many people were. At age 13, she started to play volleyball. She was 5'10", could not have walked across this very smooth floor without killing people. But the high school coach could see that this was a kid who wanted to play. And that was that. We just got on the bandwagon and off we went.
So that kind of kicked off your volleyball interest, your volleyball career.
It did.
And then what was your path to then becoming a regional commissioner for the Excelsior region?
Long and involved.
Yeah.
When my daughter graduated from high school, my husband and I had both been very involved as volunteers with our club that she worked with. The club director of the time resigned abruptly. Mm-hmm. The coaches called and said, would you please be the club director? I said, I have no idea what to do. I'm not a coach. I'm just a human. Well, you're an organized human, which I am. And so that started 20 years of being club director. And I loved it. Mm-hmm. You know.
And what club is this for?
Yeah.
This was for Woosh Volleyball Club in New York. It unfortunately ceased to exist during COVID, as many did. But it was great. Mm-hmm. It was great. I had great kids, mostly great parents. You know, the big joke was we all wanted to coach, have orphans, but it was fun, and we had wonderful experiences and made lifetime friends. And from that, I became involved in the region as an assistant juniors director, and then I was a juniors director for 10 years, and then commissioner. And this is my eighth and final year.
Yes. Awesome. Well, I mean, a great career as regional commissioner. I know
I've enjoyed it.
Sad to see you leave that role. But I guess kind of just taking a little step back to your club director days, spent 20 years as a club director. What were some of your favorite parts about being a club director, working with those, you know, clubs and those youth athletes?
watching young women, we had boys for a very brief time. There's no boys high school where we are, but okay. We for 4 years were able to sustain a boys team. But to watch young ladies turn into young women and to do our best to empower them to be better people through the medium of volleyball. I mean, yes, we wanted to win. Everybody wants to win. But to us, the more important piece was taking these young ladies to places they had never been before, having them stay in a hotel room. Some of them had never done that. Teaching them what it's like to eat out. Some of them had never done that. We were big on discipline. You know, rules, life is created but with rules. And we want you to have a free spirit and free thoughts. But by the same token, you need to be on path. You need to follow the guidelines that we've set out for you. And the biggest joke was that when I inherited the club, we had one page of policies. One page. By the time I was gone, we had four pages, because every time someone did something stupid, it was a new policy, because it never occurred to us that we would have to write this down, because who would do such a thing?
You don't know until you know, right? Until it happens, actually.
Until it happens, and you go, okay, another policy. Yeah. It was the people that made all the difference for me. And we got to travel. Again, taking these kids, many of them had never been on a plane. Wow. We took them. The first time we went to junior nationals was in San Jose, California in 1996. And
coast to coast, right?
Coast to coast. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
And we also made a point anytime we did have teams go to nationals to spend extra time where we were to show them the area. In Salt Lake City, we took them down to Zion and Bryce National Parks.
Oh, cool.
You know, in San Jose, we took them into San Francisco. In Houston, I'm not exactly sure what we did, but we did
NASA
something.
Or maybe some barbecue.
Yeah, it could have been NASA. Okay. In Atlanta, our coach had a place in the Great Smokies. Okay. They stopped in the Smokies. They saw that and then went on to Atlanta. These were just kids who didn't usually travel.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal for them.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's great that you recognize that and spent time to kind of show them, you know, how to travel and get, you know, a little bit different culture from what they're used to.
Yes.
Back home. That's really cool.
Oh, thank
so
you.
If you could, go back, you know, same starting point with the knowledge that you know now, would you do it again? If so, would you change anything?
I would do it again. We were, for the time that I was club director, an all-volunteer staff. Mm-hmm. No one was paid. And we were able to attract really great coaches. The biggest thing I might change is to kind of beat my coaches over the head and say, take advantage of this education that we're providing for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and some did, but a lot of them, they were very busy. I get it. They were they were parents. They had other jobs. Coaching was their passion, which is why we were able to get them to join us. But that's probably, you know, take advantage of some of the opportunities that were there that you went, maybe later. Hmm. Well, later's gone. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I guess, you know, kind of take us through some of the basics of the Excelsior region. You know, number of clubs.
Sure.
Events that you host. Take us through some of
those. Maybe before we even start there, do you want to talk about the rebranding of your region first?
And then I would be happy to do that.
Right.
That
Thank
was a big,
uh-huh.
big deal for us. Mm-hmm. As a lifetime resident of New York State, I had always been told that the word Iroquois was the name of the nation, the Iroquois nation. Mm-hmm. We have a goodly percentage of Native American players. And about 3 years ago, one of them called me up and said, you do know that the nation does not use the name Iroquois. I said, no, I didn't know that. Why? It is apparently a French slur on the nation's name.
Oh.
I said, oh, well, we need to do something about that.
Yeah.
So we put together a committee. COVID got in the middle of it, but we persisted and we took input from our membership. Every member was invited to submit a name or potential names. We narrowed it down to the top five. We put it out. The membership voted on it, and we became Excelsior Empire.
Wow.
We were fortunate. We have in our club director ranks an attorney, more than one, who helped us through all the legal things with the joyous work of the state. And we rebranded. Scott and his team put together a lovely new logo for us. And we've been rolling along ever since. Mm-hmm. There are still times when I see people that I knew from before, and they're like, wait a minute. You're not Iriva anymore? No, no. We're Excelsior Empire, mm-hmm. XLVB. Yeah. And it's mostly been well received.
Good.
Some of our older members were distressed, but that's part of change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I completely forgot about that. Yeah,
I just appreciate how collective that was and how considerate of your members and staff and all potential participating parties. Like when it comes when considering that too. You know, you talk about a lot of NFL teams or NBA teams everyone rebranding things without considering all of the factors in it too. So that's really,
I think,
a really good point of view.
Because we're a small region, mm-hmm. that we do a lot of things like that collectively, mm-hmm. Which makes our people fairly loyal to us.
Yeah.
You know, we're big on customer service. Again, because we're small, none of us are full time. We all have, as we call them, real jobs.
Yeah.
Volleyball is our passion, but our real jobs do periodically take precedence. But our membership knows that. And we're pretty clear, like, you don't call me after 9 p.m. You can call me at 5 a.m., but after 9 p.m., nope. It's a law of diminishing returns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that that background on the change and everything. But yeah, I guess kind of take us through some of the basics around the region, the clubs, the events that you host.
We currently have 87 juniors clubs, and we are in a very large geographic area. We run from an hour north of New York City to Canada.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. It's about a 12-hour drive. We run east to the borders of Vermont and Connecticut and Massachusetts. And in the west, we run to the other side of Syracuse, which is mid-state and down, and then the Western Empire region. And we have a lot of back and forth between the Western Empire region and us kids on the border. The same with down where I live near New York, kids from Geneva and kids from us go back and forth between the regions, and it's fine. We are consistently growing, which we're very pleased about. Right now we're at 4,500 members, which is an increase for us again. And we have had several clubs choose to do the AAU JVA route, and that's their choice. And I was worried at first, but then I saw our membership continue to rise. Mm-hmm. And again, and I said it before, I think our biggest asset is our willingness to hold a new club director's hand. You know, they start in and they look at Sports Engine and go, oh, my God. You know, they look at signing up for a tournament and go, how do I do this?
Yeah.
You know, and we're happy to help them.
Yeah.
We provide mentorship to clubs who run their own tournaments. The majority of the tournaments in the region are run by clubs. And they use it as sources of income or opportunities for their kids to play at home and not have to travel. The region itself runs three multi-day tournaments and one-day tournament for our 18 girls, because we championship them out at the end of March since their championships are in April. We don't hold them through till May till the rest of our regional championships. And that has become a really big thing in the region. We were fortunate to find big space, which took us probably 10 years till we could find a venue that could hold more than 12 courts. Now we're fortunate we work with the state of New York at the New York State Fairgrounds, and we have one venue that holds 24 courts and one that holds 12, and there's other ones around where we can put 6 and 8 courts when we need it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All within walking distance of each other.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And free parking.
Oh, that's important.
Free parking. Wow.
Free parking.
Keep the parents happy.
Yes, yeah. It does.
Keep those parents yes. happy. You know,
that is a critical thing.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't let them bring in their chairs, but at least they park for free.
Hey. Especially if they're doing that 12-hour drive from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Totally. Can't believe that. That's mm-hmm. that's a big area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the successes that you've seen, you know, in your region overall over the past few years? I know you talked about a little bit, you know, growth in tournaments, growth in membership and development there too. But is there something specific you really want to, you know, either talk about or acknowledge?
I really do think the growth of the region taking on multi-day tournaments mm-hmm. has been our biggest piece, because many of our clubs are small.
Yes.
You know, there may be four teams, maybe on a good year. And they don't go out of region. You know, they're not going to qualifiers. We have some that do, some that are very successful, but most of them are not.
Yeah.
And so by the fact of the region putting in a 2 or 3 day event, you know, and you watch their faces when they come in, you know, the 14s come in and their eyes are going to fall out of their heads because mm-hmm. they can't believe yeah. that they're seeing all these courts
that's cool.
in one place. Oh, my God.
And
by the next year, they're very cool. They're blasé. Yeah. You know, they're, yeah. oh, I've been here before.
Yeah.
I've been here before. I'm cool. But the little guys are the best.
Yeah.
You know, and we've worked hard on our 12s. We offer 2 levels of 12, developmental and non-developmental, and we adjust court stuff accordingly. And that's a big area of growth for us as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just want to chime in really quick. We are live-ish at the ABCA convention, so we're going to have some background noise.
Yeah.
as the marketplace floor is now open mm-hmm. and the vendors are active.
I think that guy kind of copied our intro with our podcast. You guys want to know that? You know, but hey,
I did hear that.
To
yeah.
each their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess just to you know, get away from the conversation of the region just for a minute, just being at the ABCA convention, what are your impressions? How many years have you been to the ABCA convention?
I've been coming to convention for about 10 years.
Okay.
And there's always information.
Yeah.
There's always things for me to learn. And I am not a coach.
Yeah.
As a club director, my job was to make sure everything was done so my coaches could coach and not have to worry about hotels and tournaments and uniforms and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm always meeting people that I know. One of the best things about volleyball are the people we meet along the way.
Yeah.
And seeing friends that I haven't seen in a while. It's a great thing. And of course, watching the Final Four is no
you
know, no problem.
Those were some great matches last yeah. night, too. Yeah,
there
yeah.
were.
Yeah.
I was sad for Wisconsin.
Yeah. yeah.
the yeah, coach there used to be in our region.
Okay.
So,
okay.
you know.
Yeah.
They hold a place in our hearts.
Yeah.
But
that's
know.
Cool to hear. Yeah. As not a coach, but you can still get a lot out of the event.
Absolutely.
Even if you're not a coach at any level of volleyball. I think that's the thing we keep hearing is just it's a big reunion of
it
sorts,
is.
A big volleyball reunion.
It is. It yeah. is. It's so good to see. I saw someone yesterday I hadn't seen in about 5 years. And we sat down and talked awesome. For an hour and talked about life and mm-hmm. this and that and the other thing. And, you know.
That's cool.
It's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. ABCA, this always kind of reminds me of, this is kind of like the opens of, you know, coaches and, you know,
yes.
that side of things there too. Because, you know, people use opens for the adult nationals like they're just big reunion. You know,
oh,
you
yes,
haven't
it
seen
is.
Your friends and maybe some family members in years.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to come meet and have a good time and compete, but instead of competing here, you know, we're just kind of engulfed in all of these educational opportunities and resources, and
yeah.
it's just like that too. So I definitely appreciate being able to experience both too. So yeah. What has been your favorite city that so far that ABCA has been you know?
Well, Tampa's certainly very nice yeah, right now.
Especially following up Omaha.
Oh, that was very cold. Really, really cold.
Very cold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been impressed with Tampa. It's
yes,
a nice city.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have not spent really much time here before, and it's
yeah,
been great.
It's our first time
it's
here.
It's been
as well.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, I like Columbus, but I like Columbus. I just think it's a great city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in the other cities, yeah, they're okay. But Right now, it's cold right now, in New York. It's nice here.
Yeah. No, we just got snow in Colorado. Snow. Yep. Yeah,
yeah, so. Right. You guys
escaped
yeah.
that a little bit.
you know the change. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think it's nothing like New York cold, but it's a
different kind of cold.
Yeah. It is a different cold. And Colorado is just such a glorious place.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
You know, I love to go out. When we go out for meetings, I just kind of sit there.
Can't wait.
You know, stare at the wind mountains and try to behave.
Yeah, well, 24 May meetings, Columbus. So
I know. I'll get. I had my October in Denver, and now I'll get Columbus, and then I'll be no longer there.
Well, always welcome, though.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
I guess going back to the region conversation, mm-hmm. what is the day to day for you as a regional commissioner?
Certain times of year are always significantly more busy than others. As tryouts start and memberships start, both our registrar and myself and our juniors director are answering the questions and trying to steer parents on the path. Okay. You know, no, do not register yourself. Register your child. Take a tryout membership. You know, all that kind of stuff. And the giant sign on the website that says no refunds really means that.
Yeah.
And I'm the tournament director for our major tournaments. So I do a lot of the logistical work. I have all the contracts that have to go back to the various places, setting up for all the things that go into a tournament, the uh-huh. courts, the pipe and drape, the chairs, to this, working with our head official and our assigner to make sure we have that done. You know, it's some days it's all day. Other days, it's like, nope, got to do this tomorrow. So it runs in fits. You know, mm-hmm. when I'm not busy at my real life work, I can devote a whole day and get a lot of club stuff done or region stuff done. We don't have an office. All the documents live in my business in file cabinets. And they'll go to the next guy.
Yeah.
Here they are. Here are the file cabinets, you know. But we have a good group, and good communication happens. And that's a critical need for any region, office-wise or otherwise. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. You touched on getting, you know, parents up to speed and understanding of what, the requirements of a membership and what to expect at tournaments, all that. But why should a parent, of a young athlete consider getting their child involved in the region?
Several reasons. First of all, a good friend who's an official once said to me, volleyball is the last civilized sport. And I truly believe that. It is still a sport with honor. It is still a sport where rules matter. And I think that there are so many good role models in volleyball that young athletes can follow. That it's good, and it's good for our kids to get out there and it's exercise. You know, they may not be on a national team or an elite team. Doesn't matter. You're playing, you're getting involved, you're making new friends, you know, meeting people, hopefully going to places you've never been before. Yeah. We laugh and say some of our tournament locations are not really where any of us would go. Otherwise than being in a tournament. But you know what? It's a part of the state you've never been. Check it out. See what's there.
Exactly. Especially if that state wasn't even on your list of, you know, your dream list of you know, cities you want to go to and experience. I know, without, you know, this event management job with USA Volleyball that I've been, you know, privileged enough to, you know, stumble upon. There's a few cities where I probably would have never visited, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, some are sleeper cities, you know, very surprising, very fun and engaging food, culture outside of the convention center there too.
Yes.
Very hospitality. You don't know until you're there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you look at it and go, I don't need to go there, but I'm going. So let's see what I can find out. Yeah. And what can I do there to make it, you know, a positive experience for everybody?
Yeah, I think one city that stands out for me in that regards is Detroit. I had a great time in Detroit.
I did too.
And a lot of great food restaurants there.
I was
very walkable city too.
It was. It turned out to be a great time.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I guess let's talk a little bit about your region and some of the people that have been just a big influence in your region. Who's kind of helping, you know, grow the sport at the local level there in the region?
Our juniors director, Tracy Manning, she's a club director as well, does a tremendous job working with our club directors and helping them, giving them tools, you know, especially when someone is new. They don't know where to start. Well, I'll just put together some girls. Well, there's a little more to it than that. And she holds hands. She helps them with direction, gives them thoughts, tries to assign them a mentor if it's possible, somebody in their area that is willing to help them. And that's made a big difference. A good website makes all the difference in the world. Oh my goodness. You know, the things you find out and the things you learn. And responsive board members and responsive people in chairman positions make a big difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if a parent of an athlete wants to start playing volleyball in your region, you mentioned the website. Is that the, you know, primary source, that first step where they should, you know, access more information and, you know, take a deeper dive into clubs and all that?
We've got lists of current active clubs on the website, contact information from that. We've also got ask a question, you know, and a parent will say, well, I live in such and such a place. Where do you think I should go? Because there's six clubs here. And, you know, our juniors director has a great knowledge of our clubs. And she can say, well, if your child is competitive or wants to be, look in this direction. If you're just looking for recreational purposes, look in this direction.
Yeah, I guess we've talked a little bit about, touched on the growth of the sport, specifically in your region. But what about, you know, the growth of the sport in the U.S.? What do you think are some of the driving factors for that?
Oh, I think it's fabulous.
Yeah.
We're so fortunate to have that. I think we've had increased public relations from USAV, you know, getting things out there. I think that the regions are becoming much more knowledgeable about what to and how to let people know that we exist. And this fact, you know, television hasn't hurt volleyball at all.
Yeah.
You know, more and more people are watching and they go, oh, well, that could be fun. Well, of course it could, you know, get out there and go. And we have growth, you know, in our high schools. In New York State, we still have two different times of year when high school volleyball is played. We have fall ball and winter ball. And more of the winter ball people are swinging into fall so that the club season then opens up for them.
Right.
Our boys are also split, but the boys are growing too. Slower, but they're growing. You know, and a lot of people, once they see it, go, oh, look at those guys play.
Yep.
I could do that. Of course you can.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can. Some of you are better than others. You know, some are natural athletes and you just have to refine their skills. Others are, you know, as I said, my then 13-year-old who would take down the booth in one fell swoop, you know, turned into a Division I player. But through hard work and learning to coordinate, you know, makes a big difference. And solid coaching. Good coaches are the core of what we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned television and just like, I mean, we're right here at the NCAAs where they're on ESPN. The semifinals were on ESPN and then the finals is going to be on ABC. So they're getting on some big networks now and younger athletes, younger kids are seeing volleyball for the first time on TV and wondering what the heck this sport is and want to get involved in it.
They do.
And parents are seeing it too.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we're mostly a very rural region, but in the regions that have bigger cities and you can do the tri volleyball days and things like that, that's a wonderful opportunity. It just doesn't work as well for us given the nature of the woods,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and the countryside, and the fields, and the farm.
Spread out your region,
right?
Too,
and how spread out we are, but you know, it's any opportunity is a good opportunity, and we strongly encourage our clubs to do volley kids, volley tots, things like that.
Yeah.
Just you know, do a Sunday night league, get the kids started, and they'll go, oh, this is nice. I like this.
Doesn't take long for them to get hooked.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean you. kind of touched on a little earlier about how it takes, you know, a good coach to, you know, get a player firing on all cylinders and develop and all that stuff too. But, you know, it takes good officials as well. And there's a whole, you know, plethora of, you know, development and resources for that too. And you yourself, you know, were also an official.
I was
on the high school level, college, and at the USA level, right?
I did USA for a couple seasons, but it was challenging as a club director to also be an official. It really was a conflict of interest. So I stepped back from that, but I stayed with high school and college officiating, and I still do scorekeeping.
Got it. What made you want to become an official?
My daughter was a senior.
It's always your daughter. I love
it. It's always the daughter.
It goes back to that.
It goes back to the daughter. We had just fallen in love with the sport. And I said to my husband, well, I want to stay involved. And she's going to be playing in college. And we're going to watch her. But I want to stay involved. So I signed up to be an official for high school. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And then I suddenly became the club director, too. So that was an interesting, unplanned turn. But it all worked out. And I had the good fortune to be able to do that for about 15 years. I had the pleasure of officiating a number of New York State championships. I was scared to death. You know, they assign you that morning and go, okay, you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And went,
it's a big stage. Yeah.
Pause. Wait.
Okay. Yeah. Are you sure?
Deep breath.
Okay. I'll be back in 5 minutes and I'll be better.
You need to take a walk. Yeah.
I have to leave the room.
Yeah. You know?
But it was great fun. And I discovered a love of scorekeeping. And so I still do collegiate scorekeeping and really, really enjoy it.
Got it.
What are some of your favorite memories from officiating? Did you ever get to officiate your daughter's matches at all? Or
no.
Was that a conflict of interest?
Well, she had graduated by the time I was officiating.
That ball was in.
But I had so many of my club kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be like, ladies, remember, I'm here in an official capacity. You are the player. I am the referee. We'll wave. Mm-hmm. How we doing? And that, but I said, no, we can do this. Mm-hmm. We can be professional, you know, and it was a riot sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the parents too. It's like, thank you.
As soon as you make a call they don't like, they're like, you know better.
They were quite vocal and that was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, made me a better official sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time. Sometimes it's just like, you know, you see it and you're there and you're on the ladder and you see what's going on and they're sitting six seats up in the stand going, I don't understand this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to a current or former volleyball athlete or any individual who is looking to start or is interested in a career in officiating? What advice would you have for them?
It's a wonderful opportunity to give back to a sport that has given you so much. And yes, I made money and you can make money doing it. Again, a wonderful network of friends that you meet along the way and from all over the country. And that's really a gift, you know, but most importantly, to be a good example to the younger players. You know, you do your best. Everybody makes mistakes and you know, try not to cringe and go, well, that was a bad one, you know, but you do what you have to do and do the best job that you can. And I think it's a good example for players. And I hope that former players, athletes will get involved with it. You know, especially club players that may or may not be playing in college in your off season, you can become a referee. And it's for you, with your knowledge of the game to start with, it's a real easy way to make money for the weekend.
Yeah, make good money. You can travel, like we've talked about a lot too. Yeah. Travel, see new cities, and
some of those exotic places that you're never going to go to again.
Yes. Detroit, Michigan, very exotic. No, but no, it's a great opportunity for those, you know, who are looking to stay in volleyball, like yourself, with your daughter. You know, you guys found the love for volleyball, and you wanted to keep going in volleyball, and you went to officiating, and then that snowballed into
so
more
many
opportunities.
Other things.
Yeah. But speaking of all the other things, you mentioned before retirement coming next year, is that right?
Or August 1
next
August
year.
August 1 in 24. My term is up, and we will be electing a new commission. Our region elects their commissioner, and we will be electing a new commissioner in April.
Okay.
And the nominating committee is on the hunt and doing their job.
Yeah. Obviously, the region is going to miss you. I'm sure you'll still stay involved in some capacity.
I am. I'm going to still continue to run our big tournaments.
Okay.
All that knowledge rolls around my brain, and I'm continuing to start to write, not to start, to write down job descriptions and things that have evolved over the 8 years we've been doing these big tournaments. You know, we thought we knew everything the first year, and we knew nothing. So now that we're in our eighth year and the tournaments are just growing exponentially, which is woohoo, happy, challenging but happy, we're going forward with that.
Yeah. Are you obviously probably a little bittersweet, kind of, you know, not wanting to step away, but realizing maybe it's your time. But are you excited to bring in a new commissioner
and, absolutely,
and see what they can bring to the region?
We need someone younger. I am not. And it needs to be somebody younger who has a much better grasp of the technology. I know just enough to be dangerous, you know, and we need people who really know what they're doing, because that's the key to what's going on. Communication with our membership, communication with everyone involved is the key. And a new commissioner is going to bring in that new knowledge. And, you know, I'm not leaving the country. I'm not even leaving the state. I'm just going to be there and try to shut up and speak when spoken to.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any hobbies or, you know, anything you're looking forward to kind of take on outside of volleyball once you retire?
My husband and I like to sail. We do a lot of sailing. Awesome. And I love to read. So I look forward to more reading time and potentially more sailing time if the wind works.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of trapped with the wind. But and we also own our own business, and we're getting in a position to sell that and be retired from that as well.
Okay.
So we'll be like really retired, and then we'll be working grandparents.
Yeah. Sailing off into the sunset.
Said, right? With the grandchildren in tow. Yeah. Behind
that.
Be
might be the title of the episode. Yeah. Yeah. Sailing off to a deserted island far away from
anyone we know. Give me a Kindle and a Wi-Fi connection.
That's all
I'm
you
good.
Need. That's all you need. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hazel, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down
and talk
to us and share a little bit about your region and your career.
Thank you.
A great career, and I know Excelsior is going to miss you. USA Volleyball is going to miss you, but you'll still be around. You'll be involved.
I will miss all my friends at USAV for sure.
Yeah.
That's one of the joys of doing this, is getting to meet so many amazing people.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're probably going to pull me back into a committee.
Rope
anyway,
you back in, yeah.
Yeah, somehow.
You'll be back at ABCA Opens and have a big reunion again.
There we go. And that's the best part. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to share or talk about before we let you go here?
No, I'll turn it all to you.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Again, such a great person to sit down and chat with. It's funny because our... In our Denver meetings, in our annual Denver meetings this past October, we had a lot of region reps walk up to us and say, hey, we got a perfect interview for you guys if you're coming back to ABCA. So we had Hazel on unofficially on our books for quite a while. And, you know, again, she did not disappoint, and just a great it's always a great feeling to, you know, give region commissioners and any reps from regions a voice and a platform to just talk about the work that they do within each of their regions. OK, across 40 regions, there could be two people running an entire region of volleyball, and that's from officiating to, you know, juniors to adults to grassroots. It takes a village, and sometimes you don't have that. You have a village of 2 to 3 people max. So just a big shout out to everyone again. Thank you again, Hazel, for again taking some time out of your busy schedule at ABCA to join us on the show. It's such a treat getting to know about the hard work, your background, and everything you've put into your region. Also, you know, learning more about what you've done for the sport specifically throughout your career. It's just it was a pleasure for sure. It's also fun getting to, you know, getting to look at a lot of the roles, you know, within not only your region, but like I mentioned shortly before, all the regions as well, too. Just getting that little snapshot behind the things just really goes a long way. And it really helps paint a picture on a, I don't want to say a blank canvas, but a not so blank canvas with, again, all of our 40 regions again. So, again, thanks, Hazel. And, you know, we wish you the best of luck on your retirement and be sure to keep in touch. You know, we'd love to hear updates as you make that transition there. Now, on to our upcoming events. 2024 Florida Fest Boys National Qualifier is happening January 26th through the 28th in Fort Lauderdale. But stay put, because we also have the 2024 Florida Fest Girls 18 National Qualifier also happening on January 26th through the 28th in Fort Lauderdale. So a lot of volleyball happening in Fort Lauderdale as well, too. Be sure to check out the action if you are around the area. Also, moving on to the 2024 Northern Lights Girls National Qualifier Weekend 1. Also happening over the same weekend, January 26th through the 28th in Minneapolis. Moving on to Ohio, we have the 2024 Ohio Valley Girls 18 National Qualifier in Columbus from February 2nd through the 4th. Also, registration is now open, is still open for the 2024 Salt Lake City Showdown Qualifier, weekend one happening April 6th through the 8th. Be sure to get those requirements completed, because weekend one registration is filling, and we will be at max capacity soon. So if you don't want to get waitlisted, please get those registration requirements completed so I can accept you. We also have weekend two on the 12th through the 14th, which also has registration filling up quite fast. Okay, get those requirements done. Can't wait to see you all in Salt Lake City. Also, if you are playing at Texas Fest in Dallas on February 3rd and 4th, do not miss a chance to watch our U.S. men's sitting national team play an exhibition match against Kazakhstan. The U.S. men are preparing for their last chance to qualify for the 2024 Paralympics. For more details and all upcoming events, you know where you can find them, at usavolleyball.org. Moving on to the pro side of things. That's a wrap for the pro side of things. Again, not a lot of pro things happening right now, but stay tuned, because once they're rolling, they are rolling. Just to remember, listeners, you can rate, review, share this podcast with your friends, families, teammates. Again, leave us reviews. They really help this podcast grow and reach new listeners, especially going into this 2024 year. We made a lot of progress, a lot of improvements, and a lot of just hard work to put into this podcast to give you listeners the best experience possible. And also check out our video episodes on our website and YouTube. Again, we just want to thank you all for your continued support. If you know of a club that should be featured or a story you'd like us to share, you can email us at theusavshow@usav.org. Leave us a review. Leave us feedback. Let us know how we're doing. If you want to hear about any future topics, especially going into this Olympic and Paralympic year, email us. We'd love to get those episodes and topics on our podcast moving forward. Remember, new episodes drop every other week. And until then, thank you all for listening to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show. We're the official podcast of USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson. Produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.